I think, just to build on what Paul has just said, I think a lot of our Christian education has been one of misdirection, as I said before, that we often taught in a way that is almost a sleight of hand to miss some of the radicalism. Mm. So, for example, I still remember when I was at university doing my undergraduate degree in history, and we had, one thing we looked at was history of churches and their development. And we spent a lot of time looking at Acts chapter, well, the early parts of Acts. And it was interesting how we spent a lot of time wrestling with metaphysics around glossolalia. And it's not that it doesn't matter, but it's interesting that all the practical elements of the early disciples holding all things in common. Mm-hmm. And there's been a persistent, as we've heard, from Helen. There's been a persistent Christian tradition of a common wealth, wealth held commonly, not private ownership. Whether it's the levelers and the charters, but that's always been presented as these marginal, odd figures who have this weird idea of taking the Bible literally. Well, taking the Bible literally can be dangerous, but actually there are times when taking it literally is precisely the thing we should be doing. And sharing our resources. It's interesting that all the people who say they believe the Bible literally suddenly get into historical criticism when it comes about economics. Jesus says to the rich young ruler, sell all you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me. And suddenly, well, of course, Jesus has not been literal. Of course, he's not been literal. It's literal about homosexual. It's literal, the text about sexual issues, sexual ethics, but not about economics. So a commonwealth is something that I think we have to constantly fight for that vision to say, actually, all the best societies, if you look at all societies that are the most content, the largest Scandinavian, and they largely have a greater sense of equity between the richest and the poorest. It's not perfect. But I remember being in Oslo a couple of years ago, and the truth is that what was juxtaposed was a, and if ever you ever bump into a friend of mine from Scotland, church, Scottish guy's name just escaped me, Doug Gay. Some of you know Doug. Like, so Doug and I and a couple of friends were in Oslo a couple of years ago at a conference, and I said, I'll buy a round. The most expensive round, it cost me £64 because of how expensive prices are in Oslo. And I have to admit, I have been chiding Doug. I said, Doug, trust me, the next 10 rounds are on you. But here's the thing. Okay, not ignoring the fact that it is a cold climate, it is the least amount of begging I've ever seen in any major city. Because actually, when you have that level of taxation, the poor get paid a decent wage. There are moral choices to be made. It's a high taxation economy. But how oftentimes are we sold the lie that somehow it's the American model that we should follow, with all its dysfunctionality, even though there are other models that are not perfect, but there are choices to be made, a commonwealth. The other thing, therefore, to say very quickly, and I think something that all of us know instinctively, is that whatever we do, we have to listen to and engage with the voices of the people who are feeling it themselves. That they're not here in this room. There's a Jamaican phrase that says, who feels it, knows it. Who feels it, knows it. And therefore, the key thing in all the work we have to do is who is feeling it and what are they saying? And actually, I think that's the gift that liberation theology has always given us about base communities, however we want to talk about it. But how do you do theology with the people who are feeling it? Our danger is in this work, and it's something I've wrestled with all my life in terms of the work I do, is the danger of end up speaking for people. However well-meaning we are, that is still a paternalistic and a patrician model, but not having the people speak for themselves. Even when they say the things that are sometimes contradictory to the ideologies that we are holding. But that's their reality, and we have to hold that seriously, or else what we're still doing is replicating a problem of a top-down set of ways of operating where the articulate and the educated speak for others. Mm-hmm.